Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. 'Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ben Adler, who reports on Republican and conservative politics and media for The Nation as a contributing writer. He previously covered national politics and policy as a staffer at Newsweek, Politico, and the Center for American Progress. His latest article at The Nation is Did Romney Buy the GOP Nomination? Welcome to Background Briefing, Ben Adler.
Thank you for having me.
And Ben Adler, did Romney buy the nomination?
Not entirely. The consensus of experts, whether they're academics or people who've worked in politics, is pretty strong that money alone can't, make you the winner of a presidential primary. And there are plenty of examples in the past of candidates who had a lot of money, such as Steve Forbes, who were not successful at all. But on the other hand, so it's pretty clear, Romney was, a contender in the polls since long before he started spending a lot of money on ads. And to some extent, the opponents saying, oh, he just won because he outspent us so heavily is sour grapes. But it is true that there were states where Romney reversed negative trends in the polls by spending heavily, and so he won some states that he may not have won had he not had a spending advantage. So it's impossible to know exactly what would have happened if he hadn't had a spending advantage, but I think the most likely scenario is that the primary would have gone on a bit longer. You know, if he hadn't won both Ohio and Michigan, for example, and Santorum had won those states, then perhaps Santorum would have stayed in the race longer. But in the end, he probably would have come out on top.
So the point about this is that Democrats at their peril assume that this guy is just all about money and not about popularity, and the fact that we've been told many, many times that he can't make the sale. He certainly makes the sale pitch. This guy, I think, is a pitch man.
Yeah, I think that, Gingrich and Santorum are not the only people saying Romney only won because of he outspent them. Democrats have been saying that as well. And, it's a comforting thought for them that Romney really has no political appeal, and he could only win the primaries by heavily outspending his opponents to an extent that he won't be able to against Barack Obama. I think that's a little bit of an oversimplification. It's certainly true that the heavy funding that Romney receives from Wall Street and corporate executives, it helps him and gives him an edge that he wouldn't otherwise have. But I think people underestimate him a little bit. I think his total willingness to tell people whatever they want to hear and complete lack of core principle is actually a political asset in many ways. He's been successful at selling himself to very, very different electorates, if you look at the Republican national electorate versus the general election electorate in Massachusetts. And he ran as a much more moderate candidate back then. So he's shown some real political dexterity. And I think the other fact is that people don't have to love him to vote for him. I mean, it's certainly true that he is not the most charismatic candidate we've ever seen. But if people dislike Santorum and Gingrich more, they'll vote for Romney, and it's possible people will dislike Obama more. Obama's clearly more likable personally, but if they're worried about the economy, it's possible they'll vote for Mitt Romney without falling in love with him.
So, Ben Adler, what are we to make of this, that Romney is a almost a sociopathic liar? He constantly lies and changes his position and says what people want to hear, and he does it with absolute alacrity. And of course, he's the exemplar of family values, Christian values, and being squeaky clean and all of the above. So I find it absolutely mystifying. Is this a comment on America, that the truth doesn't matter?
Well, I don't think that that you've heard people justifying their votes for him by saying he embodies family values particularly. I think when I talk to voters and I say, why do you support Mitt Romney, it's all about his business experience and this notion that he is the best qualified to spur economic growth and job creation. And that's, I think, speaks to a different American pathology, which is the extreme reverence that people seem to hold for making money in the private sector. You know, it's not really clear to me why that's such a great qualification for him to be president. You know, he was in private equity. He worked at generating wealth, and that's really has very little to do with managing the macro economy, and it has nothing to do with many of the other goals that people might have, boosting employment, for example. I mean, in private equity, sometimes you hire people, sometimes you lay them off. He wasn't in the business of hiring people for its own sake, or, you know, greater social equality, or defending the environment from pollution, or, you know, defending democracy abroad, or any number of things people might want the president to do.
Right.
But you see this is the same thing you've seen with guys like Mike Bloomberg, and you know, although they didn't win the surprising amount of support that some candidates like Ross Perot have gotten, that there's this, and you don't see this in like a lot of Western European countries, right? The prime minister isn't just some rich guy who wakes up one day and spends a ton of his own money to become a front runner, as Romney did in 2008.
Sure.
And that's a uniquely American phenomenon. And there's no particular evidence that those guys, once in office, do any better at generating job growth necessarily or balancing the budget.
Again, I'm speaking with Ben Adler, who reports on Republican conservative politics and media for The Nation as a contributing writer. He previously covered national politics and policy as a staffer at Newsweek, Politico, and the Center for American Progress. And his latest article at The Nation is Did Romney Buy the GOP Nomination? You mentioned a minute ago, Ben, that Romney created wealth at Bain Capital. He didn't create wealth, he extracted wealth. That's the central argument, I think, about what kind of a capitalist he is and whether this change in American capitalism, the financialization of our economy, where up to 50% of it now is controlled by Wall Street, whether or not in the long run American capitalism is sustainable as long as Wall Street extracts money and doesn't produce products, demand, and jobs. But that's another argument. But I just want to get some clarity on the fact that this man lies with such alacrity. And basically it's a complete chameleon. He, for example, when he was a businessman, I talked to a Wall Street banker who dealt with Bain Capital. He said that everybody stopped dealing with Bain because they'd lie. They'd make the deal, and then after the deal was made, they start chiseling and trying to beat you down. And that, even on my Wall Street standards, is considered dishonest. His first advertisement that he made in New Hampshire, he put John McCain's words in Barack Obama's mouth. I mean, it's completely dishonest. So I'm just trying to get an answer to this simple question. How could somebody be so dishonest and such an inveterate liar and such almost a sociopathically smooth liar never be pulled over? Is there any chance that, for example, the Democrats could make an issue out of it?
You know, I think that the interesting thing about Romney's lying, and I wrote about this a while ago, is that I think it's weirdly an asset as much as a liability. And one of the reasons is that he has such a well-developed reputation for dishonesty that when he says something crazy, no one believes him. And so, for example, during the Republican primaries, he could very aggressively pander to the extreme right on, you know, for instance, on social issues, while the generally more socially moderate and liberal sort of Wall Street wing of the party that you might expect to be troubled by that just kept shoveling money at him. And you might ask, well, why are they doing this if they don't, you know, shared the, you know, they don't want a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, which he said he supported, or that they don't want to repeal, they don't want to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which Romney said he would do. And the answer is they know perfectly well that he doesn't mean it. No, you know, there's nothing in Romney's sort of, you know, biography or history or political positions until he started running for president as a Republican that would suggest that he actually is terribly homophobic. He's so blatantly disingenuous that it actually gives him a tremendous advantage, which is that when someone hears him say something that they think is silly or outrageous or just wrong, they say, well, there's a 50% chance that he actually believes the opposite. And so I think that's the secret that he's mastered. Can Democrats make an issue out of his flip flopping and so forth? Yes, of course.
I used the word lie. I'm saying that can they brand him as a liar?
Well, yes, I think they will, and I think they we'll try to anyway. You know, the one difficult thing about that is that it cuts a little bit against their other effort, which is to brand him as an extremist. You know, he's taken such far right positions, and Bush remains the legacy of the Bush-Cheney era, who, by the way, were two businessmen who did not do a good job at all of you know, growing the economy or jobs or balancing the budget. That remains such a negative association for so many people that you know they want to try and say, they say, you know, his policies are a return to the failed Bush years, and he's, you know, adopts extremist positions that are hostile to intolerant, you know, towards immigrants and so forth.
And women,
and
yeah.
A little bit, because simultaneously say he's lying when he adopts those extreme positions, although it is true. You know, you kind of undercut your other argument there.
Right, right. Well, if the Republican establishment, you know, if the code is that he's just lying to the rubes on the Republican right, the Christian coalition types, and it doesn't matter, you know, I can see that. But Ben Adler, just in the last few minutes, clearly you're starting to see some of the contours of the campaign now that Romney's it, and Mitt, and of course Gingrich just pulled out today. And I frankly think that Gingrich was in that race to help Romney more than hurt him, but that's just my opinion, given that a billionaire just wrote him a check and kept him in the race. You're starting to see that they're going to repeat the mantra of the Reagan years, aren't they? Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?
That is one of their arguments for sure. I mean, Romney certainly telegraphed that a bit in his speech on Tuesday night. And, you know, they're going to, I mean, they will attack Obama on every front they can. I mean, Romney is trying to get to Obama's right on foreign policy and say he hasn't been strong enough against Iran and China and Russia. But fundamentally, Obama has pretty good approval ratings on national security, as he should, given his successes in that realm. And some proportion of people who disapprove are probably people on the left who think he's gone too far in you know, carrying out drone strikes that can kill civilians and so forth, and they're not going to be attracted to Romney's message, particularly on that. So by far the most fertile soil for him is the economy. I mean, and it's really just unfortunate for President Obama that he was elected at a time when the economy was crashing, and because there's this lag between when his policies take effect when they're passed, the economy is not fully recovered through no fault of Obama's, particularly,
right.
To the extent that the government could have done more to spur the
They're clearly going to, run on the idea of political amnesia. George W. Bush had nothing to do with it, and he owns it. It's been his economy. Just in closing, though, in your article, Ben Adler did Romney by the GOP nomination. You mentioned the role of Fox News, which is, for all intents and purposes, the Pravda of the Republican Party. And indeed, following that analogy, there is a kind of Soviet-style way, you know, in the old Soviet Union, that somebody would disappear from the Politburo and become a non-person. That is clearly what happened in this election with Fox's coverage of first Gingrich. He disappeared and complained about it, and then Santorum disappeared, and now Roger Ailes is going to devote all their assets and for the next 6 months as Romney's cheerleader. What is your sense of how that's going to work? Is it because they are so stridently partisan? Is that an effective strategy, do you think? Or are they talking to the choir?
Fox News, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think Fox has far more influence in the Republican primaries than in the general election. I think the majority of people watching Fox are going to vote for whoever the Republican is. I think that the way that they help Republicans outside of the primaries, in which they choose, you know, they sort of got on the Romney bandwagon, is that they put out all this misinformation about Obama. You know, I don't know if you saw Steve Doocy the other day, the host of Fox and Friends, misquoted Obama. Obama has many times said, "I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth." Sure. When talking about the great opportunities America has given him, someone from humble, background like him.
Right. Unlike
some people.
Right. One of the Fox and Friends, the woman on Fox and Friends tweeted that Obama had threatened to kidnap and kill Chelsea Clinton as a way to control the Clintons for not revealing his birth certificate, being a phony. I mean, they'll say anything. That's truly surreal. In any case, we've run out of time here. I thank you for your article and for joining us here today, Ben Adler.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, Ben Adler reports on Republican conservative politics and media for The Nation as a contributing writer. He previously covered national politics and policy as a staffer at Newsweek, Politico, and the Center for American Progress. His latest article in The Nation is Did Romney Buy the GOP Nomination? This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.